Nothing to do with the Ark on Luna, it is something way more ancient than that. It came with Luna when this moon was brought into this solar system, and it stayed there. This technology was always there, belonging to the people who brought this moon here into this star system. It is not the Galactic Federation of Worlds, but another organization. Hey, wait a minute. Alex Collier, 20 years ago, told us that the moon was brought by the Andromedans into our star system. Is that the Xenu you are talking about? Thorhan smiled. Okay, I said, you can't tell but you told me, thank you. This technology came with the people who brought this moon into our star system. These devices that you see are not living beings but chests. Inside them are tools and technology devices. This chrysalis-looking envelope is a sort of protective time capsule. It keeps this technology on life support. So it is alive then? Well, it is an organic technology. Something that they haven't yet understood on Terra. Some of our cultures use technologies that are organic, but not biologic. A good example is the ships of the Intergalactic Confederation. These pods have nothing to do with the Cedars, but it is a very similar technology. A lady arrived. She was wearing a white smart suit with some black stripes on the front. She had brown straight hair with bangs, and clear blue-gray eyes. She could have been a Tal. Her name was Tara, and she was in charge of the transfer of the pods. She was coming from Luna, where she works. She interrupted our communication, but I could follow their conversation. They were talking about the transfer of these pods and the fact that scientists were coming. Thorhan told her that she needed to hang around a little bit longer because the scientists were on their way. So, I said, scientists are on their way from where? From the science vessel of the Federation, Thorhan replied. So why did you send these pods directly to the science vessel? Because they need to be protected. From who? This is the procedure. There are no more enemies in the Sol system, but the regular procedure requires a military management. Things are done that way, that's all. Why are you retrieving these only now? Because until recently this moon was in the hands of the Nebu and they could never crack this technology. It was buried very, very deep beneath the surface of Luna. Everybody knew it was there, but as long as the Nebu held this moon there was no way to retrieve this technology. As I related in my previous book, We Will Never Let You Down, the Earth's moon was liberated in February 2021 and the off-planet war was over in this star system a few months later. Since then, there was a rush for taking back the Lunar Operations Command base and all the evacuated bases on the moon, which fell in the hands of the Earth Alliance and the Galactic Federation of Worlds. Now that things have calmed down, the Galactic Federation of Worlds can take care of retrieving this technology from the moon. It will probably be given back to the Xeni, I suppose. Before I disconnected with Thorhan, the scientists arrived in the cargo bay. What was interesting is that there was one guy whose race I had never seen before. Who is this scientist? I thought. He is one of the Intergalactic Confederation's scientists. They came as well to have a look. His culture is Ormung. He was the last person I saw before I ended contact with Thorhan, and I focused my attention on detailing what this guy looked like. It is always extraordinary and mesmerizing to meet new races and cultures. So, Ormung was the name of his race. He was humanoid. He wore a yellow jumpsuit made from a thick fabric, with a brown patch across his chest, a round gold insignia on it with a half circle in it. He had a brown shoulder patch and a clear brown density belt, so it means he was of a higher density. His face structure was unusual. He had brown skin, very short creamy blonde hair, an angular face very pronounced in the front, a thin hooked nose and clear intense green eyes that were set wide apart on either side. He was smaller than Thorhan. Contrarily to what Thorhan supposed was inside, after examination, it didn't contain any tools, but these pods were in truth real chrysalis, containing groups of seed souls in stasis. These precious artifacts were given back to the Xeni. The Xeni seed soul pods retrieved from Luna, with Thorhan behind it for scale, Tal Officer Tara from the Luna GFW facility, and an Ormung scientist from the Intergalactic Confederation. A Higher Place, July 5, 2022. I was taken on July 5, 2022 on board Thor Hand's command ship for a short leisure trip at the boundaries of this star system. He wanted to show me something, as he always likes to say. We quickly reached out to the plasma belt, which is a spherical wall of hot interstellar plasma shielding our star system from outer space radiations, particles and other threats. Thorhan asked me to pay a profound attention to what my body was going to experience as we pass through the shield. So I sat back in my co-pilot chair and relaxed. The plasma belt approached at great speed and hit us like a wall of golden light. While passing through, I felt no change in me, but as we reached the other side, I brutally felt my whole physical body fizzy for a few seconds. Thorhan held on to me a frequency belt. "Put that on," he said. As I did so, all sensations dropped back to normal. "Oh my goodness," I said, "there is a frequency discrepancy between the inside and the outside of this star system? I've never experienced that before. Is that new?" "That's new. This star system is now immersed in the fifth density frequency zone." "What is it about the plasma shield, then?" "The plasma shield has by nature nothing to do with it. We happen to use it as a frequency transformer. This star system is already in the fifth density zone, but because of what happens on Terra at the moment, we prefer making the transition smoother, otherwise it would be too chaotic down there. We regulate the rising in frequency ourselves. I just wanted to show you that. You can tell them." On August 8, 2022, I received this transmission from Una in response to a question concerning the threat of a potential solar flash that would cause an extinction event on Earth. "Your star is undergoing a transformation, but not as you conceive. It is adjusting to the area of natura your star system has recently entered. This is a galactic zone with a higher frequency. Because the frequency of your star system was lowered down by the previous invaders, and then unlocked by the excellent work of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, it needs adjustment to avoid the frequency shock. Your star, however, responds to the resonance of this higher frequency and it has started shifting. This solar shifting has no devastating effect, but it will be felt in many different ways. The shift of a star system always originates first from the star. This is a natural law. Many times in the past, evacuation occurred. It was always due to wars. An evacuation plan was always in reserve, in case if necessary, but I can assure you that no extinction event will happen. We create stars, worlds, we seed life, we fractalize the very consciousness of Source and embed it into planetary matrices. If your star, Sol, would naturally become a sudden threat to all life on Terra, one of our proudest achievements, we would prevent it. We have the power to do this. We cannot stop wars to ignite and to extinguish empires, but we have the power to ignite and extinguish the stars. You are safe. Una. Meet the Colders. A journey to Neptune. On July 16, 2022, I was teleported on board the Excelsior, the battle station of the Galactic Federation of Worlds. Thorhan welcomed me in a place which I never visited before, bathed with light and with a lot of people walking around. When I turned back, feeling a presence behind me, I had the great surprise and joy to recognize my old friend Saladian, the pilot who was on board the ship who rescued me when I was 9 years old, and who also participated in a second rescue in December 2020. Saladian wore his pilot blue shimmering uniform. We were very happy to meet again. We walked to a recreational area in the station. There were bright high ceilings, and I could see the usual cold plasma lamps floating above our heads. We sat in a semicircular couch, in front of an oval oat table. The place was agreeably animated by a joyful crowd, in a very nice atmosphere. The light, gleaming, was really amazing. I asked Saladian what he was up to. These days, I hadn't seen him for at least a year. He replied that he is working now for a temporary assignment as cargo ship pilot for a mining facility in the rings of Neptune, held by the Galactic Federation of Worlds. The mineral resources are treated, refined and brought to the outposts and colonies on Neptune, which is mainly a water world. The cities are principally underwater, but there are as well flotant facilities. Saladin told me that soon, when he will have the clearance, he will take me there to show me. I was very excited at this idea. Saladin enjoys his temporary assignment as a cargo ship pilot. He said it's a distraction and a new adventure that changes him from driving a scout ship around the Earth, which he has done for many years. There are at the moment, as he explained, no more combats in our Sol star system. So the Galactic Federation of Worlds needs to get the soldiers occupied. So I asked him his perspective on some questions I had, and here is our conversation. When Earth will officially join membership with the Galactic Federation of Worlds, I asked, will Earth people be obliged to join forces in other wars? Oh yes, Saladin replied, this is how we work. We help you and in return you help us. War continues out of this star system. This star system is now an oasis of peace, but outside the plasma belt there are still despicable conflicts. The Chakal and the Nebu are trying to get back in. Saving populations and welcoming them into their membership is how the Galactic Federation of Worlds grows. Empires grow to challenge each other, in more and more powerful wars. So you believe that if the Nebu and the Chakal were not here in this galaxy, maybe there wouldn't be any more wars? Well, the Nebu bring balance. There will always be wars anyway, smaller local ones, but this is how Source is challenging intelligence and resilience, for evolution. This was a nice conversation with my old friend Saladin, and it was interesting to have his own personal perspective, as a pilot, on the current events. What do you think about the new Earth Starfleet, I asked, which is at the moment called Artemis or Space Command. I heard stories about how more and more countries of Terra are joining the Earth Space Federation. This is a growing organization that will ensure peace and safety in this star system. Now that Earth is safe from outer space invaders, do you think that the Galactic Federation of Worlds remain in our star system? Of course. We will keep an outpost here because you are about to become members. You are in a probation period. It is just a question of time. We will always be there and work with you together, sharing our technology with your people. Your moon Luna is the place where all these new shared technologies are in the process of being developed and built, and when the time is ready, it will be implemented on Terra very quickly. Times are going to speed up, just be ready. On July 25, 2022, I got my lift to Neptune. The actual trip lasted the whole day, but I was brought back in time to only 1 hour after my departure. Thorhan gave me notice in the morning and he picked me up in the middle of the afternoon, which is an unusual time. He never sets a precise time for safety reasons. I was beamed on board a scout ship of the Federation and Saladin was there, always sparkly with joy and energy. The lads invited me to the command room and I noticed straight away that the settings were sort of upgraded. The walls were rounder and the materials more smooth and luminescent white. Saladin invited me to sit in the co-pilot seat and I politely declined, not sure about my skills. Come on, said Thorhan, you've done that before, you will enjoy it. As I took place into the seat, it adapted to my body shape and I let out a little cry of surprise. I know it does that, but the sensation is always fun. Thorhan let me place my arms on the inside lower armrests. The external ones have all the commands and I am not touching that. I extended my hands forward and opened my palms above the two hexagonal green glass pads, preparing myself mentally for the interface with the ship, taking a few deep breaths. As I explained it in my previous books, it works via DNA resonance. We're ready, said Saladin, running his long fingers through holographic screens. Thorhan briefly waved his hand above a console and a third seat materialized from the ground. Wow! I exclaimed. That's a new feature. The latest model of scout ships, Thorhan answered while sitting in a middle chair. We've integrated some technology from our intergalactic friends. It's awesome, Saladin added with enthusiasm. The target is set, Elena, you only have to give impulse power. whenever you're ready. I took a deep breath. As long as I wasn't in charge of the navigation, it was all good. The Mars incident traumatized me slightly. We will never let you down, 2021. So I applied my palms on the interface pads with confidence. I instantly received in my mind a wave of frequencies and light geometrical patterns. It was the artificial consciousness of the ship interfacing with my mind. I remember, the first time I did it, it was the Mars episode, when I nearly crashed the ship. Consciousness interface requires skills and training, which I don't excel into. Well, at least, not yet. So I gave the impulse by thought, projecting the ship ahead into the void of space, and I only had to focus on keeping the pace, as the trajectory to Neptune was automatically set. Saladin, excited to show me some new features on the scout ship. The GFW mining station in the rings of Neptune. A few minutes later we already approached the magnificent blue planet and its thin elegant silver ring. Without me doing anything, the ship stopped. I understood that we had reached the target point, a location in high orbit of Neptune. The part of the ring exposed to the distant sunlight was glittering like silver and showed a rusty reddish color in the shadow side. I didn't manage to count how many concentric rings were there, but it seemed probably 5 or 6. The show was magnificent. This is when it happened, the flashing vision of a strange creature looking like a cross between a tengri and an amphibian appeared in my head for the duration of a second, then another one and a third one, and the fourth looked different. I tensed up in my chair, quite frightened. Thorhan laid a calming hand on my shoulder. "They're the Koldasi," he said with a reassuring voice, "an interdimensional collective of different races." "How strange. They live on Neptune?" "On two planets of this system, Nara and Intu."
"Venus, and Neptune?"
"Yes," Thorhan replied. "They are telepathic only and they scan all ships on approach," Saladin said. "It is the normal procedure, more by curiosity than security. Sorry for the fright, we should have told you." Saladin took over the navigation from there and our ship flew towards a part of the bigger outer ring where the dust particles agglomerated to form a field of small rocky asteroids. There, was located a huge mining station. Our ship entered a landing bay. The interior was dimmed and looking like how you can imagine a sci-fi mining station in the outer rings of a distant planet. Thorhan asked me to put on an environmental suit, one of these white translucent very light space suits. He pressed a button on it. Near the neck, and a transparent helmet appeared out of the metallic collar. I am unable to explain how that worked. I had gravity boots with it and a large density belt. Once all three of us were equipped, we went out of the ship into the busy landing bay. As we walked through it towards a higher platform, Thorhan explained to me that this facility was built by the Galactic Federation of Worlds a very long time ago, long before the Terran Wars, at the time when this star system was facing other conflicts. "Since the time you are mining these rings," I asked, "there shouldn't be any more rocks in it?" Thorhan laughed. "We are extracting a very precious metal," Saladin said, "in small quantity, respecting the gravitational balance of the rings and the moons. Anything up here affects everything down there on the planet." We climbed onto a semicircular platform that led to another hangar. "This is my ship," Saladin said as he pointed at a discoidal vehicle shaped a bit like a bell.
"That's a cargo?"
I asked, perplexed.
"Yes,"
Saladin replied. "Okay, I was expecting more like a sort of long craft. Why does the Federation mine here? I mean, they don't own this system, right? So do they have the right to do that?" Saladin turned back to face me. His bright blue eyes were luminous.
"This is not for the Federation," he said. "This is for the Koldasi. We mine for them the organ they need to maintain their density stable here, against free access to their portal."
"The Koldas," intervened Thorhan, "are in this system for so long that they are considered as natural residents. It's like if they have always been here, but in a parallel dimensional plane."
"Come and meet them," Saladin called to me from the footbridge leading down to a lower level, where the strange cargo ship was parked. We entered. The interior indeed was from a different epoch, older construct. It could have been Earth-made, although it was not. As the airlock closed, we could remove our helmets. Thorhand did it for me. Interestingly, I have claustrophobia, but wearing this helmet was just fine. It was very light and the air was flowing great and fresh inside, adapted to my physiology. At my great surprise, not the first and not the last in this peculiar adventure, the ship didn't take off but shifted dimensional plane. Suddenly, the station wasn't there around us anymore. Neptune with its rings was still here, but no station. Interesting. Our craft slid smoothly towards the surface of Neptune. Time was also felt differently, more expanded. What a magnificent blue color! So soothing. As the craft descended through endless layers of clouds, the light dimmed very quickly. In a strange foggy twilight, the surface of a calm ocean appeared to our sight. The ship hovered for a while over it, until an odd metallic structure became visible, emerging from the water. It looked like the top of an Eiffel Tower, topped by a round plane shape made with a clearer metal. The shape seemed familiar, but on the moment, I couldn't remember why. About 3 weeks later, I remembered about the striking similarity between the signal tower on Neptune sending pulses to locate the Koldasi underwater base, and the Tesla towers. Nikola Tesla was said to come from Venus, and Koldasi also live on Venus. Did Nikola Tesla bring to Earth the technology that is in use on Venus? The dark waters were illuminated by the lights of the ship, progressing through abyssal depths. These oceans are teeming with life, said Thorhand pensively. My heart bounced in my chest at the sound of these words. The excitement, the thrill, was nearly bringing tears to my eyes. I would have loved to see these creatures under the surface of this mysterious ocean, as our ship hovered over it. Our craft dived under the water as we approached the metallic location tower, and then, it was total darkness. The lights of a floating city, composed with spheres of different sizes, soon appeared. Koldasi underwater base on Neptune. Once again, the vision of a Koldasi being flickered into my mind. The ship entered one of the spheres and a large airlock closed behind us. We flew through three series of other airlocks until we weren't any more in the water but in a normal breathable atmosphere. Unlike when visiting the mining station, we didn't require to wear environmental suits and helmets. I only put on one of these blue smart suits with a frequency belt. As soon as we stepped onto the ramp of the ship, my belt generated instantly a density force field and I felt the suit tightening my body to regulate the blood pressure. It felt to me like when I was on Alnilam, in the sixth density of physicality. The shapes of the architectural structures around me seemed blurry, so I am not able to give an accurate description. But when the Koldasi people approached, I could detail them quite clearly. It seemed they were a collective of different races, all living in the same dimensional plane. I had never been to a parallel dimension before, and this was a whole new experience for me. The Koldasi. Most of these beings were about around 5 to 5.5 FTE tall, and the most prominent race was looking like the Trappist 1, Aquarius, Tengri, with big round eyes. There was something about their features that looked amphibian. They had two sets of long tentacles coming from either side of their head, waving as they moved. They had clothes on, of different fashions. Their skin was light green. They had four thick fingers at each hand, although they were not of a gray genome but a species of their own. Among them I could also distinguish humanoid races with other features, but more or less all of the same average size, around 5 ft tall. They felt very friendly. Two of them approached me and took me by the hands, inviting me to come with them somewhere. I threw a look at Thorhand to check if he encouraged me to follow them. I took his compassionate smile as a positive answer. Thorhand and Saladin came along anyway, keeping close to me. The Koldasi showed me their facility, and I need to say, I recall very strange memories of translucent iridescent walls, walking on water and moving through curtains of shiny bubbles. These people were very joyful and light-hearted, exactly what it feels when in contact with higher density of consciousness. Time dilated tremendously, and it seemed to me that we spent a whole day with them. In fact, When we got back to the mining station to reintegrate our scout ship, Thorhan told me that only 1 hour had passed. I was very impressed. I was brought back to Earth and straight after opened my computer to write this extraordinary story. Meetings on Luna, August 07th, 2022. Here is below my communication with Thorhan. I just learned from Michael, via his contact JP, that there has been meetings recently on Luna involving Earth military from different nations. The Earth Alliance. Yes, that's it. Not only. They were meeting with Terra Space Command and some civilian industrials. What for? Can you tell? You know we are not always allowed to disclose the activities of the Terran military, because they have their own codes and protocols. You may receive soon a statement from Ade Anna. Were you there? I was, but not in the meeting hall. So I do not know the details. I met with Terran soldiers and two ranked officers, informally, outside. The officers were nervous, as they always are with us. Some of them, like these ones, who are new and not part of the ancient collaboration programs, and not yet comfortable in our presence. Do you know what was discussed in this meeting? Yes. Disclosure. But not just about performances of ships in Terra's atmosphere, this was more serious. There is going to be a contact. When, I don't know, but it should come soon enough. They are also moving forward with the colonies and the industrialization of this star system. The old collaboration programs will be revealed soon as well. Even if you know more. Right? That is all I can say for the moment. Demystifying false flags, solar flash versus solar shift, new Earth versus new era. The psychological operation agenda of false flag alien invasion / salvation justified by a made-up global catastrophic event was planned for a very long time, as I learned throughout the communications I received from Thorhan and Una. This false flag narrative was patiently, surgically, dripped into our collective unconscious with time, under the cover of true information. I have mentioned this so many times already, through several of my publications, but it would seem that we are approaching the finish line. Firstly, to get this out of the way, regarding to what my contacts in the Galactic Federation of Worlds are affirming, I can assure you with confidence that the so-called Jerusalem ship, promoted within the New Age spiritual community, is an invention. This is like the Astar Psyop. It does not only draw your focus away from the reality and from the information coming from genuine sources, but more worryingly, it entices people to project their consciousness towards a deceiving holographic trap. This artificial intelligence construct is a soul trap elaborated by gray aliens, in a way that once you successfully bilocate to this fake ship, you are hooked. Behind the holographic construct, its real shape is a cube. Even though the Greys have been physically expelled from this star system by the Alliance, this holographic soul trap still runs on its own as long as there are people to maintain it with their own consciousness. It is a similar technology as the black goo you feed it. When you stop feeding it, it falls apart. The only way to unplug is to acknowledge that you have been misled and abused, forgive yourself with love, and cut the energetic rope to it. No resentment, no anger, but in peace. Also, you need to consider the fact that extraterrestrial beings do not name their ships with Earth-made names. The promotion of the alleged Jerusalem ship has been recently enforced by emissaries of the deep state to nourish the narrative of a false flag evacuation event after a false flag global catastrophic event. They are instilling fear into your minds and brainwashing you about an evacuation on board this Jerusalem false trap ship. They even advance the lie that the Arks from the Intergalactic Confederation will come and rescue everyone, taking this opportunity to mislead the public about the real whereabouts of the Cedars and the Intergalactic Confederation. The counterintelligence against Inki, who arrived recently with the Cedars and brought back a great gift to mankind, is also orchestrated by the same dark organizations. Discrediting what they cannot suppress. They are very good at that. Regarding the false Earth evacuation, think about that. Once you leave Earth from your own free will because you are completely terrified, this is where the culling is. Do you really know who is behind this and where these ships will take you?
No, you don't. The theory of planet Earth splitting in two is another fear porn psyop.